Blog Talk Radio.
Warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, ink to make you sigh. My name is Pam Ray. I am a poet on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Now, tonight is our sensual poetry night. We do not allow for explicit smut or porn. However, if you find that sensual poetry is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have up to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Now, tonight's theme, as you can probably tell from the intro song, is Lady in Red. I ran a contest on All Poetry with not only the song as a prompt, but a variety of artwork and photography with women wearing red dresses, red hats, red lipstick, and asked people to be inspired, and they definitely were. And I'm looking forward to delving into tonight's poetry, reading and commenting, and, of course, hanging out with some other cool poets. It's going to be a great night. And when you get a chance, don't forget to go to Amazon and check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. All right, I'm going to go ahead and bring a guest on, and I'd like to welcome Kel to the show. Hey, Kel, how's it going?
It is going great. How are you?
Oh, awesome. You know, I am doing awesome. Like I said, you know, always looking forward to the poetry, but there's especially something, you know, fun about Wednesday nights. And, you know, it's, so do you got on your red dress?
No, it's a little bit too chilly for that. Winter came with a blast today. Or not winter, but
yeah.
Fall. It's cold. I do have a burnt orange t-shirt on. Does that count?
absolutely. Yeah, I don't have a red dress. I am wearing a dress because I'm one of those people that I just myself cool. You know, I don't start wearing winter clothes until probably like November. It has to be really chilly for me to wear winter clothes. But
my dress might look right.
That's exactly, I get that. isn't Robbie is just so funny with his comments in the room. Pam, you should have had a pick of a fiery red cow. Oh, my goodness. That is so. I should have done that. And here he goes, I would have gotten my red dress if I knew. Well, it's not too late, Robbie. You still have time.
No, go for it. And I'll throw the pick. I want to see that.
Yeah, I always enjoy it. You know, I know calling in isn't for everybody. I appreciate the people who can call in and do call in, like you and many others. And I appreciate those who hang out on the board, like Robbie, and read the poetry and make comments. So, you know, it's always good.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. All right. So I went ahead and I found a classic poem to start out with, so I'll go ahead and give this a read. And this is A Red Flower by Claude McKay, and it goes like this. Your lips are like a southern lily red, wet with the soft rain kisses of the night, in which the brown bee buries deep its head, when still the dawn's a silver sea of light. Your lips betray the secret of your soul, the dark, delicious essence that is you, a mystery of life, the flaming goal. I seek through mazy pathways strange and new. Your lips are the red symbol of a dream, what visions of warm lilies they impart, that line the green bank of a fair blue stream, with butterflies and bees close to each heart. Brown leaves that murmur sounds of music rare that softly fall upon the languorous breeze, wafting them gently on the quiet air among untended avenues of trees. Oh, were I a hovering, Oh, were I hovering a bee to probe deep down within your scented heart, fair flower, enfolded by your soft vermilion robe, amorous of sweets, for but one perfect hour. End poem. I have to say, I really like Claude McKay's poetry. You know, in all honesty, I think that would have been better suited for one of our talented male voices, which I see we have one here now, but that's okay. And before I continue on commenting, I'd like to say welcome, Laurent. Glad you could join us.
Thank you very much. Sorry I was late.
Oh, no worries. No worries. I just held off for another, minute or two and checked one more time. We could have used you for that poem, but that's okay because, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and have a comment on it. Now, there was actually a poem by, I believe it was, if I remember right, Dorothy Parker called The Red Dress, but the tone didn't quite fit. It was more of a melancholy rite, and so I didn't really want to start a central show with a melancholy rite. But I do enjoy his use of rhyme here. It flows beautifully. I like how he uses the imagery of the nature, the flowers, the bees, to, you know, it's got such a, it's always, I think, takes a great deal of talent to write sensuality that clearly comes across as sensuality, but yet leaves that little bit of mystery. It's like that, you know what they're talking about. You can see the sensuality. You can see all the bees buzzing around this sweet woman, and you know, and all the men, and yet at the same time, the use of nature imagery, I think, was just really nicely done. And Kel, your thoughts on this classic poem? Let's see. How about Kel?
I had to unmute and couldn't find it.
Oh, no problem.
I'm doing off to a great start. I thought it was an absolutely beautiful, beautiful poem, and I like the same aspects of it that you did. You know, the call of nature and the bees and flowers in comparison to, you know, a kiss. Because, you know, even after, you know, if you kiss for a while, your lips can start to feel bee stung, and they're just, it's just a beautiful thought, you know.
Absolutely.
Not to be stung, but, you know, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful art.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And I like that it goes deeper than the physical with lines like your lips betray the secret of your soul. I thought that was really cool. And Laurent, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Whenever I read a classic poem, I see such a proficiency of words, such a way of putting them together that seems so obvious in the reading, but boy, it's not so obvious in the writing. Your lips betray the secret of your soul, the dark, delicious essence that is you, a mystery of life, the flaming goal I seek through. Mazy pathways, strange and new. And then that ending, oh, were I hovering a bee to probe deep down within your scented heart, fair flower, enfolded by your soft vermilion road, amorous of sweets for but one perfect hour. It seems so natural. Yeah, why did I see it written just like that? Yet, that's the mystery, the beauty of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And I'd like to welcome Tom to the show. Welcome, Tom. Glad you could join us.
My pleasure.
All right. Glad to have you all here. All right. Now go ahead and bring us to the next poem. And up next, we have "He's in My Head" by Bettina Schammel. And And Kel, will you give that a read for us, please?
I would be happy to. He's In My Head by Bettina Shomo. We only met days ago, but remembering the words, you're beautiful. Two simple words I melded inside, words never felt before, never heard. A knock on the door startles me, a gift. Opening the box, a note inside, meet me there. Wear this for me, only me. Dressing slowly, a night of dance, a night of romance, a night of him. Passing in the mirror, I feel beautiful, dripping in red. I arrive, trembling, I walk across the room. All eyes are watching, they follow me. Men wishing, women wanting, feeling the warmth of the room, I wait for him. I dance with a stranger, slow and sultry. He twirls me about the room. Hands touch my hips, fingers down my spine. I am shaking inside. New feelings take over. Closing my eyes, feeling the envy of the room. I lick my lips. Red hair dangles down my back. The stranger's let go of my hand, dancing freely. I feel him enter the room, knowing he is standing there, watching. I feel sexy. A feeling of anticipation covers me. Nothing about this dress works without him. I continue my dance. He's in my head. And foam.
Wonderful read there, Cal. And such a beautiful write by Bettina. And Tom, let's start with your thoughts.
This has a really wonderful mix of the feelings of joy that come from being recognized for being someone of note, of beauty, of worthy of romance, and so it has a quality of awakening. It also has this quality of magic. The feelings that show up that lift you into a whole new universe with the dance and the stranger. But there's also a sense of a dream in here. And those ending lines, I feel sexy. A feeling of anticipation covers me. Nothing about this dress works without him. I continue my dance. He's in my head. Is it a dream? Or has he so thoroughly caught her up in his own charisma and magic that now her world is nothing but his world? I really like that ending. Very, very clever.
I have to agree. The fact that she left it open-ended, and as you said, the idea, whether it's a dream or he's just completely taken over her thoughts, was really clever. So excellent comment. And Lauren, your thoughts?
Well, when you begin with a title like He's in My Head, one has to assume that this is imaginary, but the way it begins, we only met days ago, but remembering the words, you're beautiful, two simple words that melted inside, words never felt before, never heard. And at that point, I have to feel that what the poet is engaging in is an imaginary meeting where, trembling, she walks across the room. All eyes are watching, following me. Men wishing, women wanting, feeling the warmth of the room. And then closing her eyes, feeling again the envy of the room. But as she continues to dance, she finishes, he's in my head. So it's a wonderful illusion, I think, perhaps. If there's any more to the metaphor, I've missed it, but I love this.
Absolutely, I have to agree. It is absolutely beautiful, and wonderful observations there. And Kel, your thoughts?
Well, I totally agree with the guys. It's beautifully written all the way through, and the images he presents are very active. And well done, you know, they convey so much of what she's feeling and how she looks and, you know, what she sees is just really well done. But then, you know, you also get that illusion, well, is he really there?
Right.
Is it all a dream? You know, it's just, I like that. I like that little twist that she adds to the very end of it. You know, and but it's just really a well done little bit of drama. Very beautiful.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And what I like about this is, and I kind of see it as most likely a daydream or dream, but even if it's not real, it's still the poem itself, especially that second stanza with trembling, I walk across the room, and he twirled me about the room, hands touched my hips, fingers down my spine, that imagery there really has a strong sense of sensuality to it, and I really like that. So beautifully written and very well done. And I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Welcome, Frank. Glad you could join us.
Hello. Hello, my friends. It's always a pleasure.
Good to have you here. And did you get a chance to read or to hear Bettina's poem?
No, unfortunately, no, I was not. I caught just the conversations for the comments afterwards.
Oh, no problem. I'll go ahead and move us on to the next poem. And, of course, you'll be the first commenter for that one. And here we go. Up next, we have Seduction in Red by Swan Song. And, Laurent, will you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, I will. I will do that. Okay. Seduction in Red. I could not decide as I gazed at her. Wild curves, what was more red, her ruby lips, as rich as cherries, hanging plump from the branch of the crimson roses that graced her silky hair. But as the winter eyes caught me, and the first scent of her heather skin danced deep into my nostrils and tingled across my hard skin, sun-baked and leathery, my lean body stiffened like an oak tree on a hillside. Her long velvet fingers traced slowly across my whiskered skin, and her smile glimmered into my eyes as the spell was cast. A sweet filter I could not help but peruse. The copse hid us from view with lilac and dagwood blossoms, and even the wax wings and blossomed branches looked the other way as we melted like hot butter into each other and learned through the song of our voices that tingled with the touch of pleasure as powerful as a whirlwind, and yet rather soft and fun.
Great read, Laurent. And I have to say, and another beautiful write. I really liked this photograph, how there's such eye contact between the subject and the photographer, and I can see why Swan Song chose this one, being a photographer himself. I really think when pictures like this convey such a sense of looking in at a personal moment, and I like the way the tone of his poem captures that. And Frank, your thoughts on this poem?
Well, you took my words there. I really like the imagery here is very striking. I mean, the prompt itself is very inspirational. I was going to choose that prompt for my poem, but then I saw that it was being chosen, so I went to another one that I thought was striking. First of all your prompts were beautiful. As for the poem, it is it's beautiful as well. I like the whole notion there of the first stanza there with the whole notion of absorbing, you know, the color, the red, you know, the red of the cherries, the red of her ruby lips, the crimson roses. There is that essence in this poem there of what you said, of the person who's taking the photo and the person who's being photoed. And I really, I mean, that whole, I would say that analogy was one that was conveyed to me throughout this poem here. I really felt that he was describing her in every aspect there, using the whole notion of sentience to bring us in, to draw us in with the colour imagery, the metaphors. I thought it was an exquisite poem. It was a beautiful write. And I liked the way that he used the elements of nature as well. Seductive, but it was romantic as well. I thought the seduction went well with the romanticism in the poem.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Kel, your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was very lovely. It's really, really beautiful. I love the way he used the colors, her rosy red lips and the cherries and the roses and everything that graced her silky hair. The way she looks at him and the way, it makes him feel. Her long fingers trace slowly across my weathered chin, whiskered chin. It's got her touch and his sight and the way everything feels and the way everything looks around them is just really beautiful. And I like the reference to the lilac and dogwood blossoms. It just gives it more of a reality to it. And a naturalness, it's just really beautiful, very romantic and seductive and just lovely all the way through.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
It's an absolutely lovely piece. I like the first stanza where he draws a contrast between her ruby lips as rich as cherries, and the crimson roses that graced her silky hair. Either way, he's identified two primary features of the image that really catch the eye. But what really catches him are the eyes. The eyes and the first scent of her heather skin. His lean body stiffens like an oak tree on a hillside, which is, I think, a wonderful metaphor. And the touch of her hand across his whiskered chin and her smile. But the copse hid us from view with lilac and dogwood blossoms. And even the wax wings in blossom branches looked the other way as we melted like hot butter into each other and learned through the song of our voices that tingled with the touch of pleasure as powerful as a whirlwind and yet feather soft. There's so much in that stanza that speaks to the image, what fills the image, the details, and then that touch of pleasure, as powerful as a whirlwind, yet feather soft. There's something about a touch that is feather soft, that really reaches deeply into you, raises the hairs on the back of your head. What a wonderful piece.
Absolutely. I have to agree. That stanza and the second one that starts with, that is when her eyes caught me in the first scent of her heather skin, were my true favorite. It was beautiful all the way through, but those just had so much in it that added to the imagery and the passion of the piece. So great mm-hmm. comment. And Tom, your thoughts?
What is left for me to say? I just was delighted by the extent to which the whole poem felt to me like an awakening. He awakens to the redness, to his own body, to her body, to the ways that she blends and moves through his universe. And so we come to that last stanza where all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but they become not only a part of each other, but a part of the universe that they exist in. And I agree, that last line, as powerful as a whirlwind, all that dizziness, all that magic, and yet feathered soft, so gentle, that is almost
absolutely
impossible to describe. I know you did a great job. Very well done.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. Thank you. All right. Up next, we have Bass Thumper Crimson by Versus Goliath. And that one does have a recording, so I'll mosey over to the studio and find that. And here we go.
Bass Thumper Crimson by Versus Goliath. Scarlet letters embroidered in sleeves, adulteress in a red dress, slyly leaves, slides in the explorer for quick reprieve. One more hour, these people don't breathe. We cough, silhouettes in gray verdant haze, prefer silence, excited wayfarers' internal maze. You know, there's actually a backyard garden. Wanna see what festivities we can take part in? She leaves, slender being swaying, pirouettes, notices gazing, a smile beckons, takes off high heels, runs. Cat and mouse amongst bloom of chrysanthemum, chasing a gleeful opponent while party beat drums, evasive maneuvers, hiding behind bushes, giggling, hazel green eyes assess, ready to pounce, wiggling. Soon the prey becomes predator, jumps. Two playfully wrestle on the ground, dumped. Feisty tiger growls, purrs, entranced, struggling, showing her stripes, winning game of tuggling. Eye to eye, a kiss. Hungry, consumed in it. Forgot anything besides fingers pressing, linger, impressive. A patient hesitation, taut tension tickles spinal thread, twisted thoughts rushing. Damn this beautiful woman dressed in red. End poem.
Great read, Versus. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I think this picture was actually one of the ones most taken. It seemed to be something that about it that drew people, inspired people. And Tom, let's start with your thoughts.
It really nicely played this sort of combination of tease, wonder, and magic. The spies in the explorer for quick reprieve. One more hour, these people don't breathe. We cough, silhouettes in gray redant haze. Prefer silence, excited wayfarers, internal maze. I just thought that whole opening set of couplets just beautifully set up this sort of fanciful come hither, no we don't, oh yes, oh no, and the back and forth, so that when we get to the garden and all the magic begins and everything suddenly becomes very enticed and full of fire and a whole nother set of reds, it sort of blossoms as it falls into that last set of phrases. I just thought it was stunning.
It really was. And, yeah, you're right. It did build up as they were heading towards the garden. Great comment. And Kel, your thoughts.
Oh, well, I love the playfulness in this. Where was that? Soon the prey becomes predator, jumps, too playfully wrestle on the ground, dumped, feisty tiger growls, purrs, entranced, struggling, showing her stripes, winning game of tuggling, eye to eye, a kiss, hungry. Oh, this is the rhythm and the rhyme and the flow is just, I love Versus writing. I really do. It's just so impressive and absolutely stunning work.
Yeah, I have to agree. And the playfulness in it was a really nice touch. Great comment. And Lauren, your thoughts?
The a second here. When she says in the first stanza, scarlet letters embroidered in sleeve, adulteress in a red dress, lily leaves. I mean, in the first two lines, the author kind of puts this on point. This is not a married couple, but this is a seductive temptress who has penetrated perhaps a marriage or a relationship and is of such a nature that the backyard garden becomes a magic place where they play cat and mouse amongst bloom of chrysanthemum. And there's that moment when the prey becomes predator, jumps, and two playfully wrestle on the ground. Dumped feisty tiger growls, purrs, and hence struggling, showing her stripes, winning game or tugging. And then the simple eye-to-eye of a hungry kiss, a patient hesitation, that beautiful woman dressed in red. It's definitely a stimulating encounter, very well recounted.
Absolutely, yeah, I have to agree. And yeah, those first couple of lines and the ending do add a little bit of a dark touch to it. But, you know, I like the way he put it all together. So excellent comment there. And Frank, your thoughts?
Yes, I did enjoy it. I too was taken in by that reference there to the adulteress there. This poem really had a bit of a flirtatious foreplay. I thought he did an excellent job here today in that whole notion there of two lovers there out there in the garden enjoying the forbidden fruit. And I really like the lines. He's got quite a few of these lines here. The ones that I enjoyed was, she leads slender, being swaying, pirouette. Notices gazing smile beckons, takes off high heels, runs, sucks up. He just sucks the tone there with the actuality and the physicality and with the metaphors there to describe the whole notion there of what I would say perhaps a love affair there. But I thought the poem overall was great. He did a great job here of bringing an narrative as well of these two lovers here. And I could certainly feel the thump in the bass in this poem here.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. Yeah, I really like how this was a mixture of a little bit of dark, some playfulness. I like how he had a little bit of a dialogue conversation in there. Well, I don't know if it was so much conversation, but like where she says, you know, there's actually a backyard garden. Want to see what festivities we can take part in. And I like how it had that essence of a game playing, cat and mouse amongst bloom of chrysanthemum chasing a gleeful opponent while party beat drums. Soon the prey becomes predator, jumps to playfully wrestle on the ground. You know, the whole, there's so much wonderful sense of movement and game playing that adds to the sensuality of the moment in the rite. So excellent rite and very well done. All right. And let's see what we got next. All right. Up next, we have Lady in Red by Vicky Moore and Tom. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Lady in Red by Vicky Moore. Shadows cover her face down to her ruby red lips. The brim of her fiery hat holding her eyes, red hat, red lips, red nails, and dangling earrings add to her allure. Her delicate hand rests on her porcelain shoulder, still holding the lipstick case. Slowly, he caresses her skin, his hand slides across her shoulder as he moves behind her, running his lips up her neck. Gently, he turns her to face him, twining his hands in her hair as he takes her lips, kissing her like a starving man. He runs his hands down her spine, bringing shivers to her body. He tosses her hat aside, letting her hair conceal them both, like a honey-colored curtain. Moving towards the bed, hands roving on warm skin, they fall into it as one. "Marvin," he whispers, "you should have put the dress on first. Now, we'll be late for the opera." End poem.
Well, great read there, Tom. And I have to say, sounds like whatever's going to happen at the end of this story is going to be much better than an opera. I think this was a beautiful, passionate write. And Lauren, let's start with your thoughts.
All right. When you begin a poem with shadows cover her face down to her ruby red lips, it creates an immediate anticipation of what shadows were covering her. And it's the brim of her fiery hat hiding her eyes, red hat, red lips, red nails, and dangling earrings add to her allure. It creates a vision immediately of what she looks like. And this is filled with such great detail, the delicate hand, the porcelain shoulder, the lipstick case. All through here, kissing her like a starving man, he runs his hands, down her spine, bringing shivers to her body. And then that hat, which appears in the first stanza, he tosses aside, letting her hair conceal them both, like a honey-colored curtain. I thought that was a great move, a great line, and a great image, and a great poem.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Frank, your thoughts?
Well, I'll see if I can calm it. That was a fantastic comment there, Laurent. I thought this poem really just epitomizes the whole notion of a romantic, passionate night with a lover there. The lines are exquisite. I like the ones that I really like were kissing her like a starving man who runs his hands down her spine, bringing shivers to her body. This is a very passionate rhyme. It's a very eloquent piece as well. I like the scenario there, you know, it almost seems like an opera there. It's a scene unfolding, you know, after another. And I do wonder there about that, as well as what you said, Pam, there, the whole notion of what happens, you know, after the opera there. So the poet or the poetess, I'm not sure if it's a female or it's a female, the poetess did a fantastic job here. I'm assuming it's I don't know which is a prompt, but the prompt, even without a prompt, did a fantastic job. It was very, very great visuals throughout the poem. Very seductive, very passionate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Kel, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was awesome. Very delightful piece. Passionate and sensual. I like the way he writes how he's seducing her. You know, slowly caresses her skin, sand slides across her shoulder as he moves behind her, running his lips up her neck. You know, it's a gentle, sweet seduction. And then you should have put the dress on first. Now we'll be late for the opera. That just kind of puts a little bit of yeah, gotcha, guys, gotcha. Yeah, I like that.
That was a good thing.
Very, very well done.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And Tom, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
I like the description, the way she describes things in the beginning, and how she gently moves us forward and then lets it gain speed and intensity and sensuality. I love that part where she goes, letting her hair conceal them both like a honey-colored curtain. Because all of a sudden, the sensuality and the passion just become highly evident. But then to finish those last two lines, both just completely is full of heat and ardor and lust, and at the same time, full of a sort of a subtle humor that just makes it all that much more believable and all that much more delightful. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah, you all made wonderful comments. I enjoy how this captures a moment. I like the use of imagery, and I did really also like the use of movement in that stanza where he grabs her hat as he takes her lid, kissing her like a star man. He tosses her hat aside, letting her hair conceal them both. The use of the imagery and the movement just really add to the sensuality of the rite. So, excellent rite here, Vicki, and thank you for sharing it with us. All right, and up next we have Little Lotus Flower by Daniel Duhame and Frank. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, this is a poem called Little Lotus Flower, and it goes like this. Born in a cauldron of flowers, steeped in the essence of lavender, beauty bestowed by a rose, walking in the shadow of elegance, giving eyes of sun-kissed moonbeams, little lotus flower, queen of an emperor's harem, hair adorned with golden feathers, lips of sweet honeysuckle, eyes of blue pools of surreal light, little lotus flower, envied by many for unearthly loveliness, a song sung to honor you by Chinese minstrels, statues of white marble dedicated to every curvature of your face, a perfection, little lotus flower of legend, immortalized forever. Even in death, you are venerated by mortal sages, written in golden ink, heavenly prose, little lotus flower, woman of distinction in the poem.
Great read there, Frank. And I really like
you. Thank
you. Tell which picture Daniel chose, even though he didn't put the prompt number in the AN or have it attached to his poem. I had one picture, I believe it was the last prompt, that was of an Oriental woman in a traditional, the Oriental style dress. And I thought, well, why not, you know, do something different? And so, yeah, I like that he chose the picture that was, you know, different, and he really captured, I think, the essence of it. And Kel, your thoughts?
Oh, I like this. I love the essence of the flowers. Born in a cauldron of flowers, steeped in the essence of lavender, bestowed by a rose. I mean, it's just lovely, absolutely lovely. Lips of sweet honeysuckle. And then the, you know, thought that the end that she's venerated like a possibly a deity of Chinese culture is just really a powerful piece of devotion. I love it.
Yes, absolutely. Great comment. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, this is kind of a change because he's not so much caught up in the seduction of a woman as he is in the celebration and the power of a woman and her culture and her look and the way that she holds herself in the presence of a world of men so that she becomes an object and a person of worship, remembered throughout time simply because of her presence. It has really kind of a stunning type of rite.
truly is. Great comment. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
Well, at the beginning, born in a cauldron of flowers, steeped in the essence of lavender, beauty bestowed by a rose, walking in the shadow of elegance. And even the next line, given eyes of sun-kissed moonbeams, little lotus flower, queen of an enormous harem. That little lotus flower, whose legend is immortalized forever, even in death, by mortal sages we read of now and admire. Beautiful piece.
Absolutely. And yeah, I thought it was very intriguing. I'm glad you brought that point, the idea of how it has that feel of a legend, that somebody who's remembered even in death. And Frank, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yes, I do agree. I like what both Laurent and Thomas were saying here, a personification there, a sense of reverence there, a sense of being venerated here. You know, this it just brought me imagery there of historical references, you know, to goddesses, you know, of the days of yore, you know, regardless of the culture and so be it. This was just a beautiful, exquisite rite. I really like the whole notion, the concept here of just the envelopment of the flowers here, and however reverential that she may be, she is still the lover here, still the woman empowered through the beauty of her own beauty, and not only that, the beauty of nature as well. So this was just a very, I have to say, I'm not used to listening to his these types of poems from him, you know, and more intellectualized and more fascinating. This is fascinating as well, but I've not listened to a read or actually of this nature here. So this was very surprising for me, and I found this very well written. I really enjoyed this piece. And kudos for this write.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. This is, I think, one of my absolute, you know, and I always enjoy and appreciate Daniel Duhaime's poetry, but this is absolutely one of my favorites by him, and that he delves into mythology and has such reference for women and nature written within this rite. And I do like it, how it has a feel of a legend, and so just an excellent rite all the way through, and very well done. All right. And up next, we have Scarlet Red by Lyric is Speaking. And we have a recording for that one. So here we go.
Tonight's read is going to be Scarlet Red by Lyric is Speaking. Drop dead gorgeous when she enters the room, making pulses to rise up and down. From her voluptuous stature, viewing canvas, exposing her pulchritude pose, lips so luxuriously ravishing, sculpted in that of a rose, lying in a crimson red overglow. Her full bosom breasts stand like steep, round, ridge, mountain high, and a curvature to her waist, figure tones, captivating, vibrant, and bold. She waltzes when she walks, fleshlessly moving about. There's a burst of radiant red, flowing redder and fierce, full with power, beauty's gratification, true classification. End point.
Great read there, Lyric, and thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And just to remind everyone, we always enjoy anyone who can call into the shows, but if you can't for some reason, then making a recording with YouTube, SoundCloud, or however you do it, is the next best thing, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And what I like about Lyric is she has a powerful reading voice, and I like how she writes in this about a woman of power. She's got some wonderful descriptions. I like the use of the word pulchritude. I know I just stumbled over that, but I like when people use different words. I like where she says she waltzes when she walks, giving the whole idea of the way a woman moves. And then flowing redder and fierce, full with power, beauty's gratification.
devastation. It really, within those lines, within this poem, and especially those lines, she really does capture the essence of a woman who knows her own strength and knows her own sexuality and truly relishes it and embraces it. So, wonderful write and very well done. And Frank, your thoughts?
Well, I agree. There is that sense of empowerment in her voice. But it's also a beautiful tone there, although, you know, it's very strong. There is that tone of veneration there, you know, as with the other poem. There is just that beauty that's drawn out on this poem here, you know. It's exquisite. It's beautiful. I like the whole notion of her giving the personification of her, you know, describing her features there, her physicality, you know, her voluptuous stature. And I like the pulchritude pose. I like those two words there. And I like the whole, I just loved and enjoyed the personification that you drew out in this poem. And I thought the poem was beautiful, beautiful. I mean, it was just had, it had that radiant sparkling there of the woman being described here, and the prompt was very inspirational. I can see how she could be inspired by this prompt here. It was a fantastic write.
Absolutely, well said. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, I liked it. There was a true declaration of a woman's beauty and her poise and her strength and the way in which simply by being or allowing herself to be beautiful, she is making all the statements she needs to make. And she waltzes when she walks flexuously, moving about. There's a burst of radiant red, flowing redder and fierce, full of power. Beauty's gratification, true classification. I mean, to me, that is just such a nice step away from the idea of objectification or sexualization of the woman, but instead taking the woman and going, here is a woman who's so poised and so beautiful and so thoroughly at peace with herself in the room that she holds it rather than it holds her. Really well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Hey, Lawrence, welcome back. I have no freaking clue why that happened. I will tell you, though, that last night on Neutron Show, I got dropped about 6 times. Or was it the other show? I can't remember. There was some show where it just kept dropping me. But
happened to me, too.
That's happened to me as well.
And Lawrence, did you get a chance to hear or to read Lyric's poem?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I like her read of it. It's not the way I would have read it. She chose to put some really rather beautiful lines to a very strong delivery. I might have delivered it a little slower. Drop that gorgeous when she enters the room, making pulses to rise up and down from her voluptuous stature, viewing canvas, exposing her pulchritude pose. And, you know, when we look at pulchritude, it's a physical beauty. And one need never be reticent about exhibiting that kind of beauty or that kind of pose. You know, lips so luxuriously ravishing, sculpted, and that of a rose line in the crimson red over glow, and her full bosom breast. No, there was a real beauty in the words of these. They didn't suffer from the way she was read. It's simply a preference of the way I would have read it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, you're right. And everybody has their own style, their own vision of the way they see a poem being read. So that's one of the nice things about recording. But yeah, you're right. She did have beautiful use of language. And Kel, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Lauren. I mean, her way of reading it was different. It was almost like a rap, but she gives the poem more power with the strength of her voice. And that's just kind of amazing to me. And I love the way she gives this woman so much strength and poise and vibrancy. She just fills the room with her beauty. And that's just absolutely gorgeous. I also like when she, the way she walks is when she walks. I mean, that's a beautiful line. But all the way through, it's got a wonderful rhyme, and it just kind of, it's got a beautiful flow. No matter how you read it, it's just absolutely a gorgeous write. Good job, Lyric.
Absolutely. And great comments, everyone. Thank you. And all right, Kel, I've gone ahead and I put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay. I call this Ruby Enchantment. Blonde pearls up swept with pearls. Rubies glint from neck and lobes. Match ruby lips, touch of lipstick, scent of white diamond wrists. Air of expectation surrounds her, as cloying as the rose fragrance behind her position on the tufted velvet bench in front of the door. Stereo time set for his entrance. Simultaneous, the music plays as the door opens to his wondrous presence. Hello? Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted, and my arms are open wide, because you know just what to say, and you know just what to do, and I want to tell you so much. I love you. Precisely at this time, the door opens to her debonair man in an Italian silver suit, ruby red tie, salt-peppered hair and beard, cobalt gaze fell her way. Jaw dropped at his splendid presence in ruby red accoutrements. Entirely. She gently kissed him, said, can you be ready soon? The party starts at 9. He pulled her close, whispering, I'd rather stay home, where I can make love to you all night long. But I know how important this event is. I'll hurry. Soon after, he appeared attired in white tied glamour. He reset the stereo for the return home. Knew it would not be long before she was in his arms. Not long later, the door opened to a song, just as it did for his home arrival. Lady in red is dancing with me, cheek to cheek. There's nobody here, it's just you and me. It's where I want to be. But I hardly know this beauty by my side. I'll never forget the way you look tonight. He took his ruby lady in his arms, led her to the bedroom where he kept her for a very long, loving lifetime. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Kel, and an absolutely beautiful poem. And Tom, let's start with your thoughts.
Oh, you're going to have to start writing romance novels. I can tell, Kel. You'll have a hot market following. I promise you. You do a delightful setup, good use of the imagery, the timing, the pacing of the meeting and descriptions. I just thought the whole thing was beautifully done. Very, 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 very well set up. A wonderful tale.
It's all those years of reading romance. Thank you, Tom.
Great comments. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yes, ma'am. Give me just one second. The way she sets things up in the first two stanzas, blonde curls upset with pearls, rubies glint from neck and lobes, match ruby lips, touch of lipstick, scent of white diamond wrists, air of expectation surrounds her, as cloying as the rose fragrance behind her position on the tufted velvet bench in front of the door. How well laid out is the verbal accompaniment, the image that that moment when stereo time sets for his entrance. And what an entrance. Hello, is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted. Well, where are you going from that? You're going to a lady in red, dancing with me cheek to cheek. There's nobody here, just you and me. It's where I want to be. And you know, it's that sense of being where the moment requires that is so strong, and taking advantage of it, leading her to the bedroom where he kept her for a very long, loving lifetime. Great piece.
Absolutely. Great comment. And yeah, you're right. I too liked those ending lines. I thought they were really added to the poem. And Frank, your thoughts?
Yes, I do agree. This was a very romantic piece. I could feel just in your voice there as well, the tenderness as well. The song, which is one that's very known to me by Chris Duke, The Lady in Red, this was very much personified. I could feel the elements there. You know, the song was the only thing that would be missing in the background there. Your tone of voice really gave it a cadence. It gave it this soothiness, I thought. I really liked that. I really enjoyed the essence of the poem here. It was a fantastic ride.
Thank you very much, everybody.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. I really liked this story poem here. Kel, I like that you incorporated the song lyrics and made it part of the story. I like the how you give the imagery of what they both look like. He pulled her close, whispering, "I'd rather stay home where I can make love to you all night long, but I know how important this event is. I'll hurry." You know, and just that whole expression of, "I would rather be with you." And then, you know, I like that you add into it the dialogue, just interaction. I shouldn't say dialogue, but the fact that they're interacting like a couple who are into each other, who admire and are in love with each other. You know, I just those ending lines, just absolutely beautiful, because here's a moment captured of love, of romance, but it's not just about love and romance, but about the love that will happen for a lifetime. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
All right. And up next we have, all right, Lawrence, I put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please. Are you on mute, Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm
of
mute.
Of course I was. How could you doubt?
Of course. It had to happen at some point.
It's the proper
answer. It did. All right. It's called Dead Men Cast No Shadows. A dead man casts no shadow. He has lost the life, lost the bark and leaf of his middle age, the green grass of a shoeless childhood, the maturing red of becoming a man. Gone are the elder years of pain and remembrance, replete with clucking of tongues, and how good he looked for his age, as if he was specially well-preserved, like last year's raspberry jam. A darker red, age seeking a richer shade. One day, the sun died, followed by the moon. Shadows disappeared, as if he was swept into their mass, one with the cloak of descending dark, filled with distant points of brilliance, existence without shadow, save for the crimson of bound vision, whispering whipping of cloth, drawing him to ruddy shades, as if he were wedded to that serum which mixes a life's last drink, taken in one draught. And it races body length through me, crashing blood into a final moment of acceptance, accepting him as with dark earth, and dying, having tasted heaven for the last time. End poem.
Well, now, there's quite a way to die, huh? Absolutely a wonderful
I took that red cloth in a different direction.
You did. You did. Yes, definitely. I like different. Very cool. And let's get you some comments and thoughts. So, Kel, let's start with your thoughts.
Wow. It's not at all what I was expecting from Laurent. So, wow, this is really an awesome write. From the childhood up to his later years, I love the reference to last year's raspberry jam, a darker red, age seeking a richer shade. And then moving on into his final moments, I'd say, as if he was wedded to that serum which mixes a life's last drink taken in one drop. Yeah, it's very well done. It's dark, but it's also deep, and it has a beautiful, absolutely a beautiful flow, and the wording is fantastic. Very well done.
Thank you very much, Go. I was really trying to find a way to let a dying man experience the richness of sensuality, that dark rush of blood that floods our bodies as we are energized to engage in a moment of passion, perhaps, yet his moment of passion coincided with his death.
You know, can't think of a better way to go, right? You know, die happy.
That's it, baby. That's it.
Die happy, man. You got to go, do it in a good way.
Absolutely. Great comment, Kel. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, it could be Socrates and his draft of hemlock. It could be with his favorite bottle of wine, having that one peaceful moment and just thoroughly luxuriating in the flavor of it as it slides through him and then passing on. It could be just a kiss, a magical, wondrous kiss, and then he passes on. But in all cases, you have done a wonderful job of describing the man, how rich he feels in the life he has led, and how strongly he is willing to reach up and take one more final strong sip of all that life is before passing. Really beautifully done.
Great, great comment, Tom. Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful observations there, Tom. I like the idea of you know, Socrates enjoying that last sip of that favorite wine. So, excellent comment. And Frank, your thoughts?
Yes, I somewhat thought about poor Socrates there with the hemlock there, but I really like the whole notion there of we are sexual beings, you know, passionate romantic beings, and even despite our age, that something never dissipates, you know. And this whole notion, although it does seem it has some dark tone to the poem, it does bring us the complete picture there, to some extent, of what we yearn, in our days, in our times before death, what we always want before we die, so many things that we desire. And of course, the natural essence of, or the natural desires that we possess as humans, which is part of our sexuality, can be conveyed, in a form of death, in a form of that yearning, that that craving there. But I did like the poem very poetic as always, and I really enjoy just the whole structure of the poem, the whole narrative itself really brought in really the whole essence of who we are and how we function, you know. We take away, peel the layers of us. We are very sensual beings, you know.
Yes, we are. And you prove it to us at least twice a week.
If not more.
I'm just an actor there, Laurent. Don't forget, I'm just an actor.
Yeah.
Great comments, everybody. Yeah, I like that you went with a different direction in this. And I like that you bring the sensuality in towards those final moments of life. I also like how you were creative with the color red, how you didn't just say red, but you had references to it, like raspberry jam and what else was that? I know there was the other one, but that one stands out to me. And I also like that you mentioned the cloth, whispering, whipping a cloth, drawn into ruddy shades, were wedded to the serum, which mixes a life's last drink taken in one drought. It really is just such a sense of, you know, someone, you know, grabbing the bull by the horns for the last time and truly, truly enjoying life. It's just beautifully written with a sense of dark sensuality, and very well done, Lauren.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. And up next, Frank, I'm going to put your poem so you can prove to us that you are a sensual creature. And go ahead and give it a read for us.
All right. This is a poem here that I chose here, simply The Lady in Red. And it goes like this. Mi amor, I've never seen you look so beautiful as you are tonight, so radiant with the seduction of the moonlight glow stirred, like a fresh red rose I pluck from the lush gardens of blooms, of the stimulating scent of your alluring perfume I smell. I just want to undress you slowly with my romantic stare, see the luminous sparkle of your sable eyes shine its color, and explore beyond the gentle ruffles of your silk sworn, dance with you under the heat of scarlet sheet, flesh to flesh, until our toes curl together and our lips burn in the fire of passion, and our exotic whispers of lovers reach beyond an erotic crescendo, with the Spanish sounds of the musical beat in the background as we toast and sip from the taste of a delicious cherry kiss. I could drink from the sangria of your desirable wet lips now. I would always want to quench my insatiable thirst, unveil the lustful secrets of your natural beauty concealed, discover a deep constellation of the stars twinkling in your eyes. I've never seen you look so sexy and sultry as you are tonight, for I could dance all night long with the sensuality of your skin. You are the luster of a splendid red ruby, and an ivory pearl. You are the purity of a striking image of my lady in red. Eres la belleza del color del amor, un rojo tan puro y tan natural, y tu cuerpo es mi cobija de la noche, tus besos la fuente de mi placer. You are the beauty of the color of love, a red so pure and so natural, and your body is my blanket of the night, your kisses the fountain of my pleasure. Mi amor, in the poem.
Great read, Frank, and a beautiful write. And Lauren, let's start with your thoughts.
I would like to. Can you come right back to me?
Absolutely. And Tom, your thoughts.
I like the way he addresses the woman as if he's standing directly in front of her. I've never seen you look so beautiful as you are tonight, or my
favorite two verses. I could drink from the sangria of your desirable wet lips now, and I would always want to. Or the next one, which is, I've never seen you look so sexy and sultry as you are tonight. It's just a dance of joy and a sense of wonder and delicious excitement in the presence of a woman who just seems to fill every pore in every possible way. So there are going to be never enough words or enough descriptions to possibly begin to take care of all the infinite love and joy that you possess as you address her. That's just the way it comes across to me.
Well, I appreciate that. And I did have time for the song club, Pam. I do apologize for that. I did have in mind to do the song The Lady in Red, you know, the instrumental version, the background of this piece, but I just didn't have time for today.
I understand that. And I think, you know, that, well, and that would have been really nice, but I think you did a great live reading of it. So no worries there. And Kel, your thoughts.
I always enjoy the reverence he puts into the womanly shape and his descriptions of her and how he wants to make her feel. It's just very eloquently and elegantly done. I love that. Oh, there's one line. Oh, yeah. I just want to undress you slowly with my romantic stare, see the luminous sparkle of your sable eyes, sign its color, and explore beyond the gentle ruffles of your silk dress worn, dance with you under the heat of scarlet sheets flesh to flesh. There's always such a beautiful reverence and seduction to his writing. It's just amazing. Well done, Frank, as always.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, my dear.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a beautiful sensual ride with a wonderful use of imagery. I did also, I really like the stanza there with, I could drink from the sangria of your desirable wet lips now. And I like that you add in the Spanish at the end. And also this, until our toes curl together and our lips burn in the fire of passion, our exotic whispers of love are beyond an erotic crescendo. I really appreciate and like music references in sensual rites as well as nature references. And one of the things I did for this particular prompts and contest is I reminded people that they didn't have to use the word red over and over again. That, you know, which of course I expected people would, but I also, you know, hope to see people be creative with the word, the color red. And I noticed that you did that beautifully with references to cherry, to fire. So you bring in the color red without repeating the word red over and over again. And that's definitely something that I think adds to the class and the style of the poem. So, very well done.
No, I appreciate that. There was one word that I was hoping that you would say that you that I did miss, and that was the word caliente.
Oh, dear. Well, I do have to say that poem is definitely muy caliente.
There we go. And go ahead. I'm going to have to go. I think I just wanted to say, I mean, it's a pleasure being on the show. I had when I saw the prompt there, I had to write to this PC. I just regret I couldn't do the film club, but I had to call in and just say that this was beautiful prompts. I really enjoyed them.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you very much, and thank you for calling in.
All right, my friends. Take care. Buenas noches. Take care.
Good night, Frank.
Take care.
All right. And we'll go ahead, move on to your
I'm
poem,
ready,
Tom.
If you wanna comment.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry,
oh, yes,
Lawrence.
Lawrence,
yes, absolutely. If you'd like, hold on, Tom. I'm going to go ahead and get Lawrence's comments on Frank's poem.
Yeah, I think we've got to feel the passion until our toes curl together and our lips burn in the fire of passion and our exotic whispers of lovers reach beyond an erotic crescendo with the Spanish sounds of the musical beat in the background as we toast and sip from the taste of a delicious cherry case. I was looking for that moment of touching until our toes curl together and found it in the taste of a delicious cherry kiss, and then discover the deep constellation of the stars twinkling in your eyes, that infinite moment when you read your future in her eyes. I thought it was a marvelous rite.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely wonderful comment there. Thank you, everyone. All right, Tom, your poem is up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Now, I had a horrible time on this contest because I spent about a week and a half trying out first lines on different pictures before I finally settled on this one. And I only used the word red once. This is called Night's Gate. Blossoms reveal the stories woven into the stem's hoax. What the roots seek may not be equal to what's there to drink. Tides, storms, man's desire to erase what damage the past has scarred. Is it any surprise that the sands absorb secrets and do not tell where they have been? Stories are written to unravel the mysteries driven by questions of coincidence. Was it the moon? The drinks? Slipping so quickly over the tongue, feeling unwilling to become numb, the way she was darker than shadows, scarlet with the cast of a waking sun. It is easy to become fixated on a single detail. One detail holds your attention so you won't be overwhelmed by the flood of feelings, rushing in cascades, wave beats, moonlight, the way her dress absorbed all your heat. She, at peace, swaying slightly as the breeze caressed her shoulders and brought you a perfume scent in the arms of a musk, her voice a husky whisper holding you at intent to not miss a word. Sunset woman, my night sky queen, beckons and then turns away as if shy, waiting in the cupped hands of the bay shore, knowing I am only here for her. I long to run my fingers through the long black hair, tilt the broad-rimmed hat back from her face, let my fingers trace her lips, see the tip of her tongue dart out and draw me in. Red bleeds into the clouds. Darkness discovers the colors of fire are greater than it can hold. She tastes a tear that has appeared and breathes. Miss me? Like a tide climbs the shore, sinks into the sands, reach it out and climbs higher. I feel us mesh on the patio as a gull cries out for its lost loves. I feel the scales balanced, tipped towards the answer I seek. Always I answer. And
great read there. Great read there, Tom. I have to say, I always appreciate and admire how you put dedication into conquering a rite that doesn't come immediately and easily to you, that you spent a few days
on this. That is absolutely wonderful. And let's get you some comments. And Lauren, can we start with your thoughts, please?
I was absolutely taken by the first seven lines. Blossoms reveal the stories woven into the stem's hopes. What the roots seek may not be equal to what's there to drink. Tides, storms, man's desire to erase the past has scarred. Is it any surprise that the sands absorb secrets and do not tell where they have been? I stopped at that point for a moment and thought deeply about the lines, to what they reveal of what we might accept as good or inadequate in any relationship. You know, when he says it is easy to become fixated on a single detail, one detail holds your attention so you won't be overwhelmed by the flood of feelings rushing and cascades. You know, those wave beats, the moonlights, the vision of her, almost sacred, a sunset woman, a night sky queen. I love the phrasing that you used in this, Tom. It's really very, very good, and fleshes out emotions in a very positive way. I feel us mesh on the patio as a gull calls out for its lost loves. And don't they always, and aren't they always, calling out for their lost love or food, depending on how you view the seagulls. Just a great piece.
Oh, thank you.
Great comment. And Kel, your thoughts.
Oh, this is beautiful, absolutely beautiful writing. I love the way you questioned everything. Was it the moon, the drink, slipping so quickly over the tongue, feelings unwilling to become numb, the way she was darker than shadows, scarlet with the cast of a waking sun. And there was something else that caught my attention. When detail holds your attention so you won't be overwhelmed by the flood of feelings, rushing in cascades, wave beats, moonlight, the way her dress absorbed all your heat. Wow, that's just very expressive and very emotive. I like the way she says, miss me. You know, it's just really a beautiful, beautiful write all the way through. Very eloquent and sensual without, you know, really being anything more than a description of the setting and then her, you know, just her. It's just beautiful, Tom, absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, great comment, Cal. I have to agree. I really like how you pulled in different elements from the picture, like the moon, and even added in things that you don't see in the picture, like the drinks and, you know, the, like. And I thought that was absolutely beautiful. And I really like the line, sunset woman, my night sky queen beckons, and then turns away as if shy, and red bleeds into the clouds. Darkness discovers the colors of fire are greater than it can hold. You know, there's such a sense of it's very emotive, and I do like the questions in here too. Like, was it the moon, the dream slipping so quickly over the tongue, feeling unwilling to become numb? Just a beautiful story, right all the way through, and I really like that ending calls out for lost lovers. I feel the scales balance tip towards the answer I seek. Always I answer. Wonderful right there, Tom, and very well done.
Well, thank you.
All right. Looks like Lauren has to go. So good night, Lauren. Thank you for calling in. Always appreciate you. And Up next, we have, let me see if I can pronounce this, Deschavel Moi by Cress Tursette. And we do have a recording for that one. So here, let me find it. I know it's here somewhere. There we go.
Déshabille-moi. Undress me slowly in adagio embraces, not in rips with panting claws and hammer paws. Undress me legato, sliding scales on ivory skin. Press pianissimo, setting my keys to sing soprano. Nudge my nape with satin kisses, tongue rolling swirls in rosy tremolos, sostenuto. Play your nocturne, misterioso, not rock and roll or marching tempo. Ease my scarlet straps molto lento from my shoulders, andante tips tracing arpeggios, down my arching back, around my thighs, to my middle C. Caress me softly, stroke my treble string to climb crescendo, portamento in petit bas, sustain my notes. Déshabille-moi, mais tout doucement.
Great read there, Cress. Thank you so much for the recording. It is very much appreciated. I have to say, she has such a beautiful reading voice. And Tom, your thoughts?
The use of the piano terms, of which I probably know about 90% of them, but I've heard them all, are just stunning because they're set up so perfectly to capture each movement. I love the ease my scarlet straps molto lento from my shoulders, andante tips, tracing arpeggios down my arching back, around my thighs to my middle C. That just is molten sensuality done with musical terms. That's enough to make any piano teacher from my grandmother on out blush forever.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I like how you describe the lines as molten sensuality. So excellent comment. And Kel, your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. I totally agree with Tom. I love the terms, the musical terms used, and it just adds to the language of the poem and just makes it so much more sensual and vibrant, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I really love this.
Absolutely. Yeah, I felt like not only did the music references add to the beauty of the poem, but it added to a consistency to it, giving it a very organized and professional feel. I mean, you know that I'm a professional judge of poetry, but I like how it adds that kind of consistency and thoughtfulness to it. I like how this has I guess I would call it a gentle, commanding tone, like the woman telling her lover what she wants, but it doesn't come across as, like, harsh. I really like the beginning, undress me slowly in adagio embraces, and, you know, just the whole thing all the way through is absolutely beautiful. Caress me softly, stroke my treble strings to climb crescendo. Absolutely beautiful use of music imagery and references and a wonderful voice from a woman who, you know, obviously knows exactly what she wants and has
no fear of expressing it. So beautiful, right, and very well done. All right, let's see what we got next. And up next, we have Secret of a White Columned Heart by Eric Svensson, which also has a recording. So go ahead, get that, and here we go.
Secret of White Columned Heart. Met a dame in Baton Rouge, engrossed by ebony and ivory keys, sweep of back spellbound, scarlet taffeta touched lightly, butterfly determined hovered above sweet nectar promise, respectable reverence, proboscis probes into sanguine proclivities. Dowager dust cast dusty gold leaf sheen on sheet music. Stern butler admonished silence with finger on lip. Mahogany parlor door quietly opened. White gloves steadied possible trepidation of reverberation. Stalwart attention to detail derailed any feudal hopes. Scarlet O'Hara visage engrossed by ebony and ivory keys. Nape of neck ambushed by auburn hair. Gold leaf glint stinted not. Sweep of staircase grace in posture. Russet rustle of lurid leaves in fall. Such resolve spoke not with forked tongue. Legendary Baton Rouge dame tested suitors with a riddle. Sharp sear of catfish steaks on griddle. Secret of a white columned heart. Rumored to be direct descendant of the French court, gloved hands slyly hid, sheltered societal whispers, Louis XIV love child family tree. Suddenly, Sun King's gold leaf glints flared up momentarily, then cascaded down with gamboge reluctance. Dowager dusk sneezed, balked at such demeaning inflections. Right hand stopped in mid-air. Fine fingers hovered. Red dragonfly direction change. Decisiveness. Tenacious southern dame determination sprinted to the fore. Deep breath. Red dragonfly leaned forward. Decisive execution of Rachmaninoff 4 pieces. Number 1, romance. Baton Rouge high society, second guessed it all wrong. Not Sun King lineage, but Russian Tsar Nicholas. Blue blood embraced each note. Infused ebony and ivory keys with everlasting life. Siren red passion swept through the parlor. Bayed like hunting hounds, hungry for release. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Yeah, I really like how this is such an epic tale of romance, and that he goes into such wonderful attention to detail, including right away, letting us know in the story where the thoughts take place. Met a dame in Baton Rouge, engrossed by ebony and ivory keys. I like that, and I really like where he mentions nape of neck ambushed by auburn hair, gold leaf glinced and did not sweep of staircase grace and posture. You know, there's something very sensual about the mentioning the nape of the neck. And I like that he chose to use the word ambushed by auburn hair. Almost, then you can picture how thick and luxurious her hair would be. And I like that he gives us the attention to detail of rumored to be a direct descendant of the French court. And I like the tenacious southern dame determination sprinted to the fore, deep breath. And, of course, those ending lines, silent passion swept through the parlor, bayed like hunting hounds, hungry for release. You know, to me, I see this whole rite as him just at the moment that he's observing her, the character in the story poem is observing the woman and every detail about her, including how absorbed she is into just paying attention to the piano rather than everything and everyone around her. And, you know, that he gives, I really like that he gives this woman a background story and gives her such personality without her ever really speaking. And so just absolutely a stunning rite all the way through, great use of imagery and very well done. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, these lines, especially in the opening beginning, almost feel like single notes being struck one finger at a time on a key, Meta Dame and Baton Rouge. Punk. Engrossed by ebony and ivory keys. Next note. Swift of a back spellbound, scarlet taffeta touched lightly. I can just hear each note being dropped into place. And then the explosion of music that becomes the next three verses, and then finishing with that sharp opening line, tenacious southern dame, determination sprinted to the fore. Deep breath, a rest in the music. And then a soft trill on the keys, red dragonfly, lean forward. And if you're used to Rachmaninoff music, it's very strong chords as it comes out. And the ending becomes a crashing ending. I really like the way he used color description, the nape of neck ambushed by auburn hair, to give us a sense of the woman's vibrant history and aliveness, and the promise of a story that we would all fall in love with. I mean, I can see this, you know, like in the opening 4 minutes of a film where they suck you in because you become totally fascinated by the character they present. Beautifully done. This is incredibly strong.
Absolutely. Great comment there, Tom. And Kel, your thoughts.
Well, about the only thing I can add is I like the reference to the butler, stern butler, admonished silence with finger on lip. Mahogany parlor doors quietly opened, white gloves steadied possible trepidation of reverberation. Stalwart attention to detail, derailed on any futile hopes. Scarlett O'Hara. Visage engrossed by ebony and ivory keys. It's like people, going in and out of the parlor, listening to her music and, in reverence, absolute reverence, listening to her. And the butler, be quiet. The lady's playing.
I'm glad you brought that.
I thought that was an awesome addition to the rest of it. I mean, it just kind of pulls you in even deeper to the music
and her, the description of her, and it's just absolutely a beautiful piece.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that part up because, yeah, it does add to the storyline and does kind of give a sense of almost like reverence towards the music and towards the woman. And, you know, I just, yeah, that was an excellent comment there, Kel. And, all right, up next we have The Lady Walked In Wearing Red by Martha Gettle, and also has a recording, so here we go.
The Lady Walked In Wearing Red by Martha Gettle. The lady walked in wearing red. I watched as she turned every head. I kept my eyes peeled on her. I didn't trust her, that's for sure. As she walked across the room, every man almost swooned, thinking how she turned his head, wondering how she'd be in his bed. Yes, red was the color of the night, and on her it was an awesome sight. I watched to see what she'd do, and who on her would make a move. The whole room was eaten from her hand. I knew she could walk away with any man. She had a man-eating smile on her face. You could hear a pin drop in that place. But she walked up to this little guy at the bar. It was like a chunk of coal with a shining star. But as she drug him onto the dance floor, you could see she was in love like never before. He held her close as they danced to the tune. I could see she was over the moon. Yeah, the lady walked in wearing red, looking to turn only one guy's head.
Great read there, Martha. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Kel, your thoughts?
Oh my goodness, I love that the animosity she starts it with. I really do. You know, it's like, what the heck is this woman doing? You know, who the hell does she think she is? You know, and then in the end, you know, but she walked up to this little guy at the bar. It's like, phew! A big drop, you know, sigh of, you know, relief.
Yeah.
Sigh of relief. Oh, she doesn't want anybody else. So it's all good.
Right? I thought that was a clever twist, too.
Yes,
that was very cool.
I absolutely love this. It's got a cute little storyline. It's a total delight, really a total delight to read. Beautiful.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, I've seen women who can walk into a room and hold it and have every guy in the place stop. Enough so that I've seen a few women strike their husbands because of it. I love the way that she brought the opening line with that little touch of distrust. I didn't trust her, that's for sure. And then she walked up to the little guy at the bar, and it was like a chunk of coal with a shining star. I know, I've listened to guys moan when something like that happens. But the last verse, the last verse is one to cheer for. But that just shows you that it's the quality of the woman that counts, not how good she looks.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. It's the quality of the moment. Yeah, this is a delightful story line, great rhyme and flow. I like how, you know, that it kind of takes a little bit of a twist at the end, and it's told from the perspective of somebody who's observing the woman as she walks in. But she walked up to this little guy at the bar. It was like a chunk of coal with a shining star. But as she dug them up under the dance floor, you could see she was in love like never before. Just absolutely wonderful and delightful lines and very well done. All right. I'm going to have us fit in one last poem for the night, and then we'll have a couple of carryovers. Not sure where they'll go, but, I will definitely find a place for them. So.
Yeah, it speaks to the greatness of your prompts to get carryovers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Poem is Red Rhythming by Iona Cosma, and it goes like this. She shoulders shrouded in red shawls, tearing tune in her ears, till dawn, rhyming, rhythming, she paces, red violin aghast on faraway seashores, the beat of beasts, the sound of sandstorms, rhyming, rhythming, in a trance, upbeat. Keep up that record, a barren de la stock for the lady in red, rhyming, rhythming, the flow of willowy words. Can take it no more. The tides are advancing, the red sea is a thick, blending smile. Rhyming, rhythming, she blows. End poem. I have to say, this is a wonderful flow to it, great alliteration. I really like how it almost has a personification of the sea, but I especially like is the sense of movement within this poem, as if you could see the lady doing a dance of fluidity. So just really wonderful and clever phrasing and very well done. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, in a moment, I will look up who Baron de Lestock is. There's a sense of it's the simplicity of the four verses and the assonance and the use of alliteration and consonants and assonance is beautifully done. There's a sense of building wonder and passion, which makes me want to explore some of the meanings in the words a little bit farther. Very, very, very well done.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Definitely one of those poems that needs to have some exploring done into, like you said, mentioning that one name. So, great comment. And Kel, your thoughts?
Well, I looked up that Baron de Lestock, and it's a Bordeaux wine. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I thought it was a really interesting the beginning, she shoulders shrouded in red shawls, caroling tune in her ears, still dawn, rhyming, rhythming, she paces. I love that. It's like a flamenco or a tango. It's just, a dance, and it's just really beautiful the way she expresses that. I love it.
Absolutely. Great comment. And, this has been a wonderful show. I've truly enjoyed myself. And I want to say thank you to Kel, Lawrence, Tom, and Frank for calling in, for Robbie, Lyric, and Phil for being on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, who is listening now or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And anyone who has a chance, join us 30 minutes from the time this show ends for Strange Magic After Midnight with Incoherent Dust. Thank you so much, everyone, and have a good evening.
You too. Take care.